deposit match with promo STEVE200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Sirius XM Sports presents... At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. It's hour two. We're about 15 in, make it 18 in, and reaching for Mig. And we'll get his take on the big weekend, and we want to hear about his holiday, although I know that he had to be down. Wednesday, they had to cover the Churchill action. So I know Rich was down for that, and I think if I have this right, Meg, you spent part of Thursday, I think, with Joey, and then you had a chance. Did you have a chance to get back to the farm and do a little Thanksgiving with Mel
No. What happened? You know, I had to work that show on Thanksgiving, and I had to work the next day as well. And Mella was going over. We had made plans to go to her sister's, which is about a half hour west of here, and it just was going to be too much. So Carmella had Thanksgiving with the rest of my children over there. I had Thanksgiving with Joseph, Jessica, and Isabella, which was great. And then Carmella came down Friday, and we all had dinner at Joe's again Friday evening. So it all worked out. It was, you know, it wasn't how we normally do it, but it just circumstances this year.
Well, there'll be years and years of family opportunities. I it's always hard. I mean, I was talking to Andy, you know, he came up and spent Thursday, you know, he's got his mom who's, you know, 90. And so you make time that way. It's one of those things. Certain trade-offs, right?
Yeah. Listen, I mean, when I was riding, Thanksgiving wasn't that big a deal because obviously, you know, food wasn't part of my life like it is now. But it was really nice. I got to Joe's fairly early. We watched football. I helped cook. It was all good. We actually had a good time. And then, like I said, Mel got to come down on Friday. And when I got done work Friday, I headed right over there. And Luciano came down with her. So it was really nice. And, you know, it's funny. Like, the baby was so small when she was born, Steve, because she was, you know, a little bit early. I felt almost uncomfortable holding her. But she's a month old now. she's put on a little weight, so there's like some heft there. So I was so much more comfortable holding her, and it's an amazing feeling. It really is. It's like instantly you look at this little life and you're smitten. You're completely helplessly in love. It's great.
Big time. You know, we've got the two, and there's a third on the way, and it just makes it just so entertaining. I mean, the older, you know, the younger one is still a bit of a, you know, he's still a bit of a sack of flour. I mean, let's be, he's just basically an eating pooping machine, and that's you know, with a couple, he's got some words coming out. He squeezed out a pop like a pop or poppy kind of a thing.
Nice.
And Nana, but compared to Lennon, who was just hysterical. I mean, she's going to be three, and she's really smart, really animated, and funny, and so you can really interact. You can really interact with her, and
yeah, that personality coming
yeah,
through.
Yeah, exactly, makes it fun. In terms of the racing, boy, there's a lot. I just had Tom Amos and Butchie Reed, and of course you were on hand for Butch sending Eliquist into that Discovery. Nice win there. There were so many fun things that happened over the weekend in New York, Rich. Not the least of which, 8-year-old Greeley and Ben winning the Fall Highway.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I love those old warriors that show up, and the Fall Highway has always been one of my favorite races. You know, when I was a kid, I got to go see What a Summer win it, and the filly, the mare of Penwy Brin, David Whiteley, Honorable Miss. I think she won it back-to-back years. Dennis Bryda, we were working for him with Horses Out East, and we got done, and he said, come on, we're going to the races, and we got there for the last five or six races, and we got to see Honorable Miss. So since then, you know, one of your first experiences getting to the track and see, and they used to run the Fall Highway when we got back from Saratoga, like pretty much that first week. Then for years they ran the Fall Highway on Thanksgiving, and I was like,
yeah,
they should run it like the day after Thanksgiving, because that's when guys are a little heavier, not the day of.
I love it. Well, this is a horse, I mean, that is, in fact, I at the beginning of the show, in fact, let me go to the, let me pull it up because I'm curious. It's been, I'm losing track. That was Saturday, right? That wasn't, was that Saturday?
Was that Friday or so? It was Saturday. It was Saturday.
Yeah.
Yep.
There we go. Here's a horse that, you know, 8 years old, and I see what the problem is here. This was start number 39. He's won 23 times, Rich. And you can be talented, but there's more to it than that. This is a horse. We talk about older geldings. You know, they keep themselves in shape. They just, you know, the horses like this are a rarity that just completely understand everything that's going on. And he has run for everybody that has saddled him. I mean, it hasn't mattered.
No. He's one of those throwback kind of horses. You know, he's just going to put his head down and run. And I just pulled up the chart, too. I mean, we used to have horses like this all the time. You know, like back in the early 80s, you know, through the 80s, you get these horses that, man, they would show up, boob counter types, you know, and you know, creme de la fete types. He, you know, no matter what level, they were going to show up every time. And that's what he does. And, you know, I say it all the time on the show. People probably get tired of hearing it. I like my horses like I like my people, honest and hardworking. Show up, do their job, and that's him. And he got a real strong ride from Manny Franco, who, you know, listen, he came out with Tis the Law. But I think he's taken his game to a different level this year. He's riding as well as anybody right now.
Big time. I mean, he had, and in fact, Amos praised him up and down on 63 Caliber's win in the Calmly. You know, he had those four wins. We should also fold in the Astronaut win, the Red Smith. How about Tommy Albertrani?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And the O'Connors, they're people that believe in, you know, breeding and buying for stamina and soundness. And you see all these German pedigrees throughout their horses, right? She's out of the astronauts out of that mare, Amanda, German bred, who was by a German champion. And, you know, they've been so strict over the years about who can, you know, go to the breeding shed there, you know, with medication and things. So you want get some soundness into your broodmare band. I think, you know, they've kind of set a trend in my mind to reaching out to German breds, horses with, you know, big, strong horses with solid bone. And that horse just got so comfortable. I mean, he just got into such a beautiful rhythm. I mean, you could see early on he was going to be a handful, regardless of his price, as efficient as he was moving. He went basically laid down like 12-2 the entire trip until, you know, for the first three quarters. And then he picked it up from there. Then it was like, you know, 23 and change, came home the last eighth and 11 and change. You know, how are you going to beat a horse that's finishing like that? Now, listen, the track helped him. You know, I think the turf certainly, you know, was a little bit lopsided that way. Speed was very strong, but it was a big performance and a beautiful way of going. I mean, you want to see a horse with an efficiency of stride. He embodies it.
Astronaut, Quality Road, got a nice fig, 102. Some of the other action. What else grabbed you? You had Temple City Terror. I haven't even mentioned yet. How about her? She just keeps on winning. Has changed hands, of course, since the fall and went through the ring. Brendan Walsh retains the you know the training portion, but. Another tremendous effort, Temple City Terror, amazing.
Yeah, she, you know, they talk about stamina and finding your niche. I mean, she's like a marathon specialist. It's fun to watch. Always traveling. Always looked like a winner. You know, cruised up. Jose Ortiz had so much horse and another terrific ride from Jose. He, you know, it's on the grass. And like just before he collars the leader, if you pay attention, he reaches up. Pulls down a pair of goggles, like, you know, I know from experience, sometimes you got so much horse that you feel like you got to do something. So you just pull a pair of goggles down, you got to move your hands. I mean, that's how confident and easily she was going. Rocky Sky ran well in second, but Temple City Terror is truly a terror at these longer distances. And I was looking Town and Country Racing, Temple City Terror. So the first fall should be Town and Country Terror, no?
There you go. All right.
I'm throwing it out there. They can take it if they want it.
Well, and I am going to be interested to see what, and I really should reach for, I should reach for Brendan. We haven't talked to him in a little bit, but I am a little curious about what the plan is. I think I saw it, right? I saw him there, right? He was on hand.
Oh, no, he was there. Yeah. I wasn't downstairs. I was on the desk, so I didn't get to see him or speak with him. And you know what? Actually, I was done by then. I had the early shift on Friday. So, but I did see that he was there.
Well, we'll see. I'm you know, whether they're gonna, because she's gonna turn seven, and I would imagine that, you know, that they're fixing to. You know, to breed her Town and Country, right?
For some reason I thought I heard that, but I'm not going to swear to that. I thought that was her last race, but I could be wrong.
I think you're right.
I don't want to.
And what a great way to go out. And boy, the public was all over her. I mean, 3-5.
Yeah, well, public in New York, especially horse plays in general, are sharp. I had to tell you, I had a wonderful Breeders' Cup weekend week with my Naira Bets account. I have gotten beat so many tough ones over the last week. I mean, I understand the horse players' angst more now than ever before. I mean, I got beat some bobs for the win, nosed out of my exactas. It was like I was so close that I hit all around it. But I was watching my Naira Bets account getting drained all week.
I hear you. Plus, we had the carryovers, the almost back to back, 2 and 3 days, and there was plenty of reason. I shifted gears on Saturday into the Churchill action and the 2-year-olds. So, what was your impression there?
I, first of all, you know, Tom Amos's filly is absolutely special. The way she does things, she does something to me. I like her immensely. And his colt ran extremely well. I don't think the colt. I'm pulling up the chart now, so I have names, because if I don't have the names in front of me, I'm in trouble. Curly Jack.
Yep.
You could see he just wasn't fully comfortable in the position he had, and then when Edgar Morales stuck back to the rail, he got in there, but you could see he was kind of hanging in there, like he just wasn't really confident about it, the horse. And then when he got his head in front of the horse next to him that was outside of him, then he kind of kicked on again, like, oh, now I'm free. Like, now, you know, he was, I think, a little bit intimidated in there. I think it was a fantastic education. The winner was very good, Instant Coffee, because there was no pace on, and he made this long grinding run. I give him high marks for that, to be able to close with no pace and be wide. But I don't think a lot separates the first two, Instant Coffee or Curly Jack. I think that they had two different kind of trips. Neither was ideal, but I think Curly Jack will get a lot out of that from a educational standpoint, even make him a better horse going forward. And again, the Hoosier filly, she does things pretty easily. And I liked into the first turn, she got in a little bit of trouble, just got squeezed a little bit, had to jump back off the heels. But she's always in the bridle. And those are the kind of horses that help a rider. You know, even though you might have to steady or get out of a spot, they'll jump right back in the bit for you and like, okay, what do you want to do? And I see that with her. You know, I don't know a lot about, you know, buyer figures and stuff. I know the pace was faster with the fillies. She won, you know, easily. But, you know, the colts got a faster buyer figure because they ran slower earlier, even though the final time was slower. And I really don't understand how all that works. I don't have that kind of mathematical mind. But, you know, visually, I think the filly is every bit as good as the colts that I saw run there on Saturday, if not better.
And it's a pace, you know, the figures were pace adjusted. I mean, the boys fig, because obviously the second and change between the two times, you know, that's because people were flummoxed by the 82 for Instant Coffee and the 81 for Hoosier Filly.
I kind of understand the concept. I just not, again, my mind isn't really tuned to that. But I will say, so the colts went the mile in 39.01, and then they finished 145.25, so basically 6 1/5 the last eighth of a mile, I mean 16th of a mile, right? And the filly, I'm just pulling this up real quick, they went 37 3, and then she went 143.94. So she came home in 6 2/5, you know, or almost 3/5. And after a faster pace and in hand, you know, so I'm looking at it from that standpoint. I think the last 16th was, you know, the two colts were under a intense drive, and she was kind of cruising, you know, ears up, and, you know, gave you the impression that there was certainly more there if it was necessary.
Well, and she's going to get time. Tom talked about it, and they're excited. He's not that he's necessarily talking trash, but he's not afraid to make some bold suggestions. We'll see how it plays out. And of course, that Instant Coffee, you know, what we saw at Saratoga in that maiden breaker, we'll talk to Brad Cox in about an hour. Actually, we'll talk to Brad and get his thoughts. Al, I was texting with Al Gold. Al will only come on the show now for grade one wins. He's made that. He's reached that station in life now, I guess.
Wow, that's strong. That's a strong move. That's funny. Not even for a grade two, huh?
Nope, not good enough.
That's really funny. Oh, man. You know what, though? I think the two colts coming out of the Kentucky Jockey Club, though, are nice. I mean, Instant Coffee, to be able to make that long grinding run, that bodes well. You know, well, I always talk about the Derby, and obviously you win a race like this at Churchill Downs, but you got to start thinking about the first Saturday of May. Horses that win the Derby, to me, unless they're just like a freak, like a, you know, Spend a Buck or Seattle Slough that can just go gate to wire, usually have the ability to make a long sustained run or two distinct runs, like a run to position, idle, and then another run. And Instant Coffee showed the ability to make a long sustained kind of run there. And for a two-year-old to do that, and Bolt de Oro, you know, talk about a terrific start as a sire. I mean, you know, what a terrific year he's had. You know, it's funny. I think there's been several that have just been smashing. You know, and obviously Gunrunner is, you know, you're going to start talking about him in those hushed tones before too long, if not already.
Well, just to give you an idea, I mean, three maiden breakers in the Churchill Stars of Tomorrow card, and then dotting with 63 caliber winning the Calmly. There was another, probably was it earlier in the week, there was another one that I saw. Bella Runner won the Zia Park Oaks for Asmussen. Another, I mean, they're everywhere. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is amazing. Really strong. But so I know we're talking horses and everything, but I got to share a story with you quick. I hired a young guy to help around here because, you know, it's just a little bit tough with me going down to do as many shows as I'm doing. And so I didn't come home last night because I got off late and, you know, it was raining, and I figured holiday traffic, you know, Friday night going, people going home. So I just went, had dinner, stayed at Belmont 4:30 in the morning. I took off for the farm. I got up here about 6:30, and it's obvious to me, you know, young guy, probably mid 20s, but he parlayed a lot yesterday. And okay, you know, that's fine. You know, I can talk to you about that. Like, don't, you know, just because I'm not around, shirk your responsibilities. You know, you do get paid. Plus, you know, somebody that wants to learn about horses. But then the things that become unforgivable to me, obviously didn't top off Waters last night. Obviously didn't give the older mare the feed she's supposed to get, because I could tell from her manure.
Yeah.
And this is the way I think about it. If I had a babysitter come watch my kids when they were little and they didn't feed them or didn't get them, you know, stuff to drink, and they weren't capable of going to the refrigerator themselves. Horse can't get out of the stall and go get water himself, right?
No.
He can't go get his medicine, or, you know, or like if you have an older, a parent or somebody that's in assisted living, and people aren't giving them their medicine, or, you know, giving them that dietary needs to what they're supposed to get. It's unforgivable. So he came in this morning and I said, okay, we got to talk. And I was mad, but I was containing it and wanted to deny and lie. And I said, you're going to tell me you gave this mare that feed and the mash she's supposed to get. I did. Absolutely. I said, no, I said, listen, this conversation's over. You can come, go home. I said, if you want, come back tomorrow and be prepared to tell me the truth. Are you calling me a liar? I said, yes, you're lying to me. I'm not accustomed to being called a liar. I said, well, when you lie to me, I'm going to call you a liar. I said, if you want to come back and give this a try tomorrow, we can have this conversation tomorrow. I said, I don't think either one of us is in the right frame of mind. I'll do the work. So I just got done doing all the work myself.
Yeah.
And but I told him, I said, you've already got strike one and two. If you're not here tomorrow, no problem. Don't worry about it. If you want to give this a try and actually have a conversation. So I know Carmella thinks I'm too tough with this stuff, but I, you know, it's one thing you leave a wheelbarrow full of shavings and manure behind the barn. Don't take it to the muck pit. And it got rained on, so I got cement now that I got to, you know, dump and clean out of there. All right, you forgot it, whatever. But don't neglect what the horses need. That's unforgivable to me. And that's the only way I can explain it. If you were watching my kids, you would not get a second chance if you were taking care of a family member, that they couldn't do things for themselves and you didn't do them. How do you, you know, and tell me you want to learn about horses? Well, if you want to learn about horses, the first thing you got to know is they come first. They eat before you eat.
Then we're talking horses, and there's those specific and more involved needs, obviously, than domestic pets, cats and dogs. But, you know, it's a responsibility, and whether it's your own or whether you're, you know, whether you're a hired hand, you put it perfectly. They can't do it themselves.
You know, so, you know, like when my kids really couldn't get out of the crib and go get water or, you know, sustenance.
No, exactly.
It's mind-boggling to me that people don't. But we'll see. We'll see what he's made of. If he goes home and thinks about it and comes back and he wants to actually have a conversation, I'll give him some marks for that. But that'll be his only chance. I can't have that. I'd rather do the work myself and know it gets done right. But like for days like yesterday when I knew that I, you know, had to leave early to get down, you know, I don't want it all to fall on Carmella. I don't know how trainers do it right now, because all I hear is people, you know, with help, how difficult it is getting, you know, really good help, really dedicated help. And listen, it's not for everybody. It's a commitment. You know, I mean, I'm leaving 4:30 in the morning from Belmont to come back up to the farm, and grooms are already in the barn working. You know, so you gotta love that lifestyle. You've gotta love that, you know, the early mornings and you know, waking up in the dark and work until it's dark. I mean, that's just part of the life, but it's a very satisfying life if you really love it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's something that shines through just for the most part. I know there's a class of individual that wants to, you know, make blanket condemnations of, you know, not just our industry, but, you know, equine sport and, you know, the employment of equines in any, you know, capacity. They're partners, they're active partners, you know, for certain portions of their career and lives, and then, you know, when they're, you know, productive portion of their life cycle, you know, moves to the next stage, then it's our responsibility. I mean, that, you know, tomorrow's Giving Tuesday, right? And it's funny you bring this up, because I got some Cyber Tuesday, or not Cyber Tuesday, some Giving Tuesday emails that came in yesterday and today already. And I made a mental note, you know, to catalog, you know, all the different charitable options that are out there for, you know, for those that are supporters of the equine athlete and everybody that makes it, you know, makes the game go. The timing is good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, these people that love to pass judgment, that don't have any skin in the game or have never, you know, really done anything to fix what they perceive as a problem or you know, muck the stall or donated their time to taking care of horses, they can come here if they like. I'll put them to work. I got old horses that used to be racehorses out here that if they really care so much, they can come groom them and muck their stalls and, you know, mix up the right feeds and give them their probiotics because they're old and geriatric and their digestive systems don't work as good. You know, anybody ever accuses me or people like us of not loving and caring for these horses, well, come here. And then if you could still say that when we're done with my day, there's something wrong with you. But I'm going to get aggravated because these people are aggravated. But it's just ridiculous. The one charity that outside of horses and like for the backstretch, you know, people on the racetrack and the horses that I give to is St. Jude's. That's
nice.
My number one. you know, it's all for kids battling illnesses, and I just can't ever shake the feeling it's just unfair. You know, anybody being sick, but for kids, you know, they haven't even had a chance to live their life and they're battling for it. And that's one that's near and dear to my heart. So anybody out there that would be so inclined, that's my go-to.
Nice. Well, there's so many options. Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, the Racetrack Chaplaincy, the Backside Learning Center. There's certain ones that obviously get mentioned more often than not just because of sheer size. You know, the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation with their, you know, 500, herd of 500 retirees that have to be taken care of, you know, in some cases 15 plus years. There's countless. I owe Anna Ford a visit for the work of New Vocations, which is you know, does more retraining than almost, as far as I know these days, might do the most of anybody. They take on the take two horses out of New York, for instance, and more. Whatever your local retirement agency is. Purple Haze, if you're up and you can't paint horses at Finger Lakes. Turning for Home in Philadelphia, at Parks, they do a tremendous job. Everywhere you look, there's going to be options that way.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I'm glad you brought it up because now I can pitch this a little bit. The Backstretch tours that I was given last year have really, you know, taken off. People are so into them. And so anybody out there, and they're like people that have gotten outbid or like asking if they can get back involved. And if anybody is so inclined, reach out to TRF. Certainly Kim Weir and there are a few other people handling it. I don't handle that part of it. They handle the logistics. I promise you, you will have the best time with me out in the morning. I show you a side of the backstretch, things that people don't know, you know, where the first phase of Tipton Pavilion was on the right there, you know, where the shoeshine stand is. Promise that it will be a morning you won't forget, and we have a great time. So I'm, you know, throw that out there. Anybody wants to get involved and help the horses, here's an opportunity to do something that's a lot of fun.
No, well, put, and I'm glad we went off in this direction. I was going to do it anyway, so having it with you live. Speaking of which, also I expect Mike Stidham, and we haven't talked about the one grade one from the weekend.
Oh yeah, Proxy was terrific. Really big run from him. I actually really liked him. That was one of the plays I got home this weekend, but you know, he was very good. And I hope he stays in training. I hope we see him now as a 5-year-old because it looks like he's just really kind of found his form.
How do you suggest, or how do you want people to view the latest Rich Strike carrying on?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'll stay out of that one. I've said my piece with, you know, certain situations with that. And, listen, the horse won the greatest race, in North America, the Kentucky Derby, you know, and he was a horse that was claimed for 30,000. That's history, you know, so he doesn't, as far as I'm concerned, he's done plenty already, you know, whatever else they want to say, they can say. I'll stay out of that one. Ironically enough, I'll stay out of something.
All right. I hadn't mentioned it yet, and that's my first mention, actually, of the Clark. Some of the things people suggested going in, you know, including, you know, what had been Eric Reed's approach, you know, in terms of spacing races with him, you know, to then bring him back, you know, on 3 weeks, essentially.
I don't know. Do you think that it's possible, and I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there, that it maybe had to do with the fact that they thought, well, if we win here, we still got a chance at a 3-year-old championship. I mean, sometimes people do stuff because, you know, there's different, you know, factors or motivations, if you will. I don't know. I thought maybe that was one of the reasons. And also, at first blush, it didn't look like it was coming up. The toughest Clark, although I think Proxy, and the others, the horse Saez rode, I'm drawing a blank with his name. West Hills Power, or what's his name?
West Willpower.
West Willpower, yeah, okay. I knew I was close. Come
on. You were.
They both ran terrific. But, you know, I think at first blush you could say, well, we've seen certainly tougher editions of the Clark. But as it turns out, it was a really good one. So, I've got so many people jumping on me for my take on stewards' rulings and different things. I'm a little punch drunk right now.
Rich, I'm going to have Louis Carvajal at the top of the hour to talk about Angel Penna, and it occurs to me we got 5-6 minutes. It occurs to me to ask you about Angel and your dealings with him over the years.
Just a terrific gentleman, great horseman. Nothing but good things to say about him. Just a wonderful man. I got a chance to ride for him, his dad, and real horse people, old school. Very, very privileged to have known him, again, as a human being, as well as a first-class horseman.
And, you know, Louis worked for him, the years I've been doing the show, I mean, he's one of those people that, you know, you're really... when you had a chance to have him on, you jumped at it, and then seeing him, it's just always, it's funny. Maybe it's just cultural. I can ask Louis this, those South American horsemen in particular, right?
Yep.
The Angel and his father, and the generation that currently Fausto
Paulo Lobo,
yeah. Fausto Gutierrez, exactly. Oh my gosh, Horacio Loro, and there's a whole certain image and sense and feeling you get when you meet them and when you talk to them, when you listen to them and you read quotes of theirs, you know, from their eras, it just commands respect and there's also felt like there's a real gentility and graciousness about them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's the word debonair comes to mind. You know, there's a certain, joie de vivre, right? I mean, they really handle themselves with this class and almost, you know, it's funny. What was that movie, Coming to America? They're like above anything petty. They have a certain way of conducting themselves that really transcends everything. And I always appreciated it and admired it. It's funny because I came across this picture of the first horse I ever rode for the Phippses. Angel Penna Sr. was training for him at that point. And it was a filly named T for Two. And she won, and I've got the silks on, and I'm in the winner's circle. And you could see the look on my face. I thought I was the cat's meow because I just want to race for the Phippses. Like, you know, to be in those silks and ride for Angel Penna. And, you know, it was like, you know, be 16 years old and go, wow. I must be okay because to ride for these people.
I love it. Well, Rich, I guess there was one other race that we have not mentioned, and as I thumb through, and that was the Turf Sprint. I want to slip it in, and this one went to nothing better. George Duarte for Rich Santulli, the money's yep. Gelding, and. Fourth win of the year in 6 starts and 2 board hits. It's been a very nice year for nothing better.
I tell you, you know, I like the whole story. Jorge Duarte, you know, he was a kid that had the bug, and I was a journeyman in New York, and nice kid, liked him, you know, hardworking. You could just see he was serious about being the best rider he could be. And he, you know, to get the opportunity, right? He went to work for Al Goldberg, his assistant, wound up getting the opportunity to become head trainer when Al retired. You know, so for him to be given that opportunity and doing as well as he is with it, I mean, you know, I still look at him like that kid I remember in the jocks room, and obviously he's, you know, he's a grown man now, you know, but in my mind's eye, I guess I'll always kind of see him as that kid. And I couldn't help but tell him the other day just how proud I am of him, you know, what he's done and how well he's doing. And that's the overwhelming feeling about it. I'm just super proud of him. I you know, somebody that's easy to root for because, you know, they put in the work and the time and the effort. And I applaud, you know, the Santulis for giving him such a great opportunity. You know, I mean, it's up to him to make the most of that opportunity now, but he has been. And the horse was terrific. You know, it's funny. Greg Wolf loved him going in the race. Kept telling me, I love this horse. I know, you know, he really thought that he was a huge player. I didn't see it as well. When he got collared, he dug in and fought, and it was nice. So Horacio Caramanos get an opportunity to come up to New York, win a stake, a rider that probably doesn't get enough credit in the Mid-Atlantic, a really terrific turf rider. But Jorge Duarte, to me, is a story. Again, I'm getting a big kick out of watching his success because I know how hard he worked for it.
Agreed. And yeah, he had a I don't know how much publicity it got, but he had a serious COVID bout.
I know he did. I know. Yeah, it's funny. We had talked about it when he was getting better. But, you know, thankfully he's doing okay because it was rough for a while for him.
Yeah. So nice 9-1 too here. Paid 20-20. And Joe Sharp with the Wyckoffs second in here with Anaconda, 17-18-1. And Thin White Duke. What a nice season. What a nice season Phil Gleaves and Brian Hilliard and Steve Crist have had with Thin White Duke.
Yeah, they really have. And every time the horse runs, I laugh. You know, because, like, especially as thin as I was when I was riding, I was like, Thin White Duke, this is a horse I should bet on every time.
Well, you're no David Bowie.
No, that's for sure.
Rich, I appreciate it. And we will make the turn here into the holiday season in earnest as December rolls around. We start to look toward year end and a few more visits between now and Christmas.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure you and I are going to have a few more visits for sure, and always enjoy it. And, you know, I love your fans because they come up to me all the time and tell me how much they enjoy our Mondays. And so people are listening, and I want them to know how much I appreciate that.
It's very kind. And you know, that part of it, it's been a wonderful, really. A wonderful addition because because what's fun is we never really know what much with all the regulars, I don't have an agenda for anybody. I mean, we typically know we're going to talk about the racing this week that we just, you know, we just witnessed, but it also, you know, veers off. You utilize your incredible career to for insights, and then, you know, sometimes you bubble up to the surface with like a topic that came today, you know, right out of the barn.
Well, I'm always good for veering off somewhere.
Everybody,
along the way.
However, that's the whole show. Actually, the show is a constant roadmap with exit ramps that aren't marked.
That's great. All right, Steve. Well, listen, have a great day. And I've actually got to go to the feed store, so now I'll put you on the radio. I'll get to listen.
Oh, there you go. Well, you're going to hear Louis Carvajal next. Rich Migliore, everybody. Mig, 4450, hour two in the books. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and as mentioned, going to get Louis Carvajal to pay tribute to Angel Pena Jr. And in addition, Brad Cox is going to join us this hour. We'll talk to Brad about instant coffee. You know, it just occurs to me, I got to ask Al. I got to ask Al. Why instant coffee? Because, yeah, in fact, I'm during the break, I'm going to text him. I mean, I've got a certain appreciation for it because my days at Procter & Gamble when I was on the Folgers brand. And I actually, it was more food service, not retail. It was the food service side. And I specifically ran the office coffee business. I'm sure that's changed a lot in the advent of the K-Cups and stuff. But, I mean, you just don't see instant coffee anymore. I mean, there was an era when, you know, if you ordered instant coffee, it wasn't even brewed, depending on how old you are. You know, I'm thinking more decaf, that you get the instant little pouch, and they bring you a cup of hot water and a pouch, and you'd make your own coffee. and that era of, I guess the K-Cup has really changed all that. I hadn't thought about this. And you know, if you had instant coffee at home, the jar, if you just wanted one cup. Now they've got like the tea bags of coffee, which is another innovation, right? Instant coffee. Or as we called it in the trade, soluble. Soluble. You never know what insights are going to be gleaned on a morning when you dial in. Let's take a break. Hour three. Proper tribute to Angel Pena Jr. next with Louis Carvajal.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all